walk around together with Klal Yisrael, and you're not going to be terrified of Hashem.
Does that make sense, Rabbi?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't make it doesn't make any sense. Could you imagine if someone today, in our generation, wrote something like this? Could you imagine if someone in our generation would write a perush on Chumash like this? He'd be put in cherem. They would not accept it into Eichlers. And Rashi wrote this perush. And I will walk together with you in Gan Eden, like one of you. You will not be afraid of me. I would think, lo siru mi meni. You're not going to be afraid. Therefore, it says, Rashi here is teaching us a very powerful principle that there is a difference between fear and what he calls mizdazim. Mizdazim. Is a lower level of fear. Well, I'm the other way around. It's a higher level. I'm sorry, the other way around. There is mizdazim. You're not going to have that, but you will still be afraid of me. It will appear the word mizdazim is where you're so terrified of somebody, you cannot function. If you are in the presence of a person whom you are utterly terrified of, such a person, such a situation, you can't function, you can't speak, you can't get a word out of your mouth. You freeze. You're not functional. So that's the ultimate fear. And then there's, you're in control of your faculties, but you're afraid. So here Rashi says that we would expect when the person is in the presence of Hashem, he is in a state of what the word here is mizdazim, and we would not be able to function. Then in Gan Eden, Hashem will be walking around, and we will be able to function, but we still will have respect. These are the powerful words of Rashi. Now Targum obviously is not going to like this. The Ashrei Shechinti Beinecho. And I see this again. This is another really great illustration. We're learning over here Chumash and Unkelus, Rashi and Unkelus. It's always the goal over here in this shir is to bring out, I fail miserably in trying to accomplish the goal of the shir, is to bring out, you know, difference of opinion, and through comparing Rashi and Unkelus to show the koyach of Unkelus. But here, at the very least, you take out of this Unkelus and Rashi is a very basic principle. Unkelus consistently distances Hashem from us. According to Unkelus, don't entertain in your mind for even a split second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is buddy-buddy with you, that a human being can have any significant relationship with Hashem. Hashem is infinite. He's beyond infinite. The word infinite is does not do justice to the separation there is between man and Hashem. Hashem is beyond infinite. And Hashem was mitzamsem himself so that man can have an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on man's low level. But even the low level that man is able to get a glimpse into of Hashem, there is a major, major separation. Therefore, when it says v'hisalachti, I will walk, which literally means to walk with feet, b'soichachem, he says what it means isn't the unkelus, the ashrei, I will rest, Shechinti, my divine presence, Beinei Choyin. It's like when you go to shul, you have 10 people in shul. If there are 10 people, the Shechina is resting in shul. Now you can daven and davar Shabbat Kedusha. All it means here is Hashem will rest His divine presence amongst you. Ve'havei l'choyin le'eloh, and I will be for you as a God. Ve'atun you to choyin kodomai la'am, you'll be for me as a nation. Unkelus doesn't go near the interpretation of Rashi that Hashem is walking around in Gan Eden, buddy, one of the guys. He's one of the guys. Okay, it's a club. You go to Gan Eden, they have a pool table, and they have some good food, and they have entertainment, and Hashem's there also. Hashem's there, making jokes, and you're buddy with Hashem. That's what Targum really says. That's what Rashi says. I'm going to walk around and I'm going to be mitayel imachem b'gan Eden. and you're not going to be terrified for me. You're going to be able to talk to me, to function. No big deal. You'll have respect for me. You'll have respect, but you're not going to be terrified of me. You Rashi Kedarkoi is being Megashem Hashem. And I don't mean it literally being Megashem Hashem, but Rashi is what he does all the time. Is he's taking a Kadosh Baruch Hu and he's bringing him into our little world in a way that we can relate to. The Targum Kedarkoi is always going out of his way to make sure you don't ever do that. Whenever it says a pasuk like this, where it gives you the mashmos, gives you the possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be part of your world, you have to go out of your way. No. Hashem is not, he's distant. Hashem will rest his divine presence. That's all it means. We're not talking about Gan Eden. We're not talking about going on a hike. We're not talking about a difference between the concept of Mizdazea and the concept of Yira. All it says here is, if you behave yourself, I will rest my divine presence amongst you. Like today, you go to shul, there's a minyan, you have a bar kovedik, a shul, and there's a minyan, and you daven, the Shechina is present. Hashem, you don't, no one sees Hashem walking around in shul. It's spiritual. Okay, so this is, you know, if you want to go give an example, give a shir, a course on the fundamental differences between Rashi and Unkelis, I think this pasuk would be a very good pasuk to use as an introduction to bring out exactly this point. A pasuk here, v'hissalachti b'sechachem, Rashi has no shame in saying, atayel imachem eganeidin ke'echod mikem, like one of you. I mean, these words are literally shocking. Shocking statement. Like I told you, if someone would write a perish like this today, and would write this, by the way, Rashi is quoting a Sifra, okay? So it's not really Rashi's words. So you can't hold Rashi accountable. But so the Sifra, you know, the Sifra is the first record of Torah Shel Peh being recorded. The Sifra is the Medrash Halacha on Chumash Vayikra, and it preceded the Talmud Bavli. So, okay, this is, but could you imagine someone if this would not have been a Sifra, someone would write these words, you'd say, what are you talking about? How could you talk like this? You'd be mechutz
l'machaneh. How can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be walking around? The Rambam says, and guf, an imam in his, he has no guf, he has no appearance.
So Ra'as Gan Eden. So Enochanami, we're in Gan Eden. The question you're asking is better than any answer I can give you. And maybe, I don't have an answer. I don't know, are there chalugi midrashim that disagree with one another, the Rambam is selecting one, or here it's Gan Eden. It's not a guf. What is Gan Eden? No one knows what Gan Eden is. Is Gan Eden on this world, or is Gan Eden in the next world? And just because Hashem is walking around, doesn't mean that Hashem is walking around in a guf? It doesn't say it in a guf. Hashem is being mitayel. Mr. Rappaport, I have no idea. I have no idea what this means. This thing obviously is way, way over anyone's head. But look how Rashi has no difficulty whatsoever in saying words which are explosive. And look at the Targum, how he goes to the 180 degrees to say, no way are you going to talk like that. No way. When it says here, V'hisalachti b'seichem, all it means is, I'm going to be mashre mashchina. Like it says 100 other places in the Chumash. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Ani Hashem lukei chamayim Hashem yugod Hashem yotzisi osa eschem tugi amir tzom ni miyos lohem avodim from being servants. Vo eshbor motos ulechem. I'm going to break the rod of your yoke. Vo eilech eschem. I'm going to take you koi mi miyos upright. And what do all these words mean? Let's see over here. Rashi, pasuk. Ani Hashem lukei chem. Kedai. Ani shetaminu bi shani yochol lasos kolele. I love the word kedai. Kedai, you know, today the word kedai is part of the lexicon of the yeshiva bachar. It's not kedai, it sounds very yeshivish. All these words that yeshiva bachar use, is a language of yeshiva bachar, these very yeshivish words. And they have a whole language that does not appear to be very refined. You know what's very funny? You go to these families, the women in the family, they also say the same words. it's not kedai. There's a whole language. I don't remember all the words. Sometimes you talk to a girl or a married woman from a very yeshivish family, and she's so used to hearing her brothers and her father talk yeshivish sprach. So the women, they also say these very funny yeshivish words, and you're listening to them and like, wow, you sound like a yeshiva bacha. And you don't even learn Gemara, and you never even walked into a base medrash, and the way you talk naturally is with these expressions which are not exactly very refined. But in any event, one of the words that is used by yeshiva bacha very, very often is with kedai. It's not kedai. It's not kedai to do this. Not kedai to do this. Should we do this? Not kedai. It's a yeshivish word, but it's not. Because the word Rashi and Chazal use this word very often. They use this word very often. It's not really a yeshivish word. It's a real word. And Rashi says, Ani Hashem Lekechem Kedai. It is worthy. Ani Shetaminu Bi. It's worthy. Shet Kedai. Ani, I am worthy. Hashem is speaking. The speaker is Hashem. I am worthy. Shetaminu Bi. That you should have faith in me, Shani Yachol Lasos Kolelo. I can do whatever I want. Shaharei Hoytzesi Eschami Eretz Mitzrayim Yosis Lochem Nitzim Gedolim. Okay, so that's what it's telling over here is that it's you should im bichukosai teilechu yes mishpatai tishmiru v'hasisim my son. If you'll observe my mitzvahs, I'm going to be good to you. You know why? Because I can do it. Hashem is speaking. I have the power to do anything. That was last week's Haftarah. The last pasuk of last week's Haftarah was Hamimeni Yipole Kol Davar. Is there anything that I cannot do? So here is the same thing. Kedai ani, I am worthy. Shetaminu bi, you should believe in me. Shani yochol asos kolela. Sharei hotzesi eschami eretz Mitzrayim. V'yosisi lachem nisim. I've done a few great miracles. Motos, what are the motos? Hashem, I will break the motos, the rods of your yoke. K'min yoseid b'shnei roshei ha'ol. There's a peg. A yoseid, a peg, at the two ends of the yoke. Hama'akvim ha'mosera. The mosera is the harness. Sheloi teitzei meroi shashar. Should not fall off the head of an axe. The yatir ha'keshes, and the knot should be broken. Okay, now I don't remember what this is. I have to go back and look at Masech Kalim. Masech Kalim is very kedai. If I really prepared well, I would cut a few over here. But in Masech Kalim, especially in the new Mishnah and the Mishnahs, I like use the Mishnahs Mishnah Behira. I think Mishnah Behira, there's no Mishnah in the world like Mishnah Behira. It's very expensive. They charge like $20-$25 just for one Masech. And Masech Kalim, there are three volumes, and they have these incredible, awesome, utter clear diagram illustrations of all the Kalim, and they show you there the yoke. The yoke is a very, very complicated mechanism that is put around the neck of the animal, and it's used to hitch it to a plow. And there are many parts to the yoke. Over here it says, and part of the yoke, there's something called the oil, and then there is the motos, the bars, and then there is a kesher, and there are moseros. I don't remember all the different parts, but basically what happens is there are bars that are vertical, or I should say vertical. There are bars that go along like the shoulders. There are bars that go along, like, if the animal was standing up, you would say it's horizontal. Put it like that. Make believe the animal was standing on two legs. The axe was standing on two legs. So, and then you would put a bar along the animal's shoulders. That would be a horizontal bar. And then if there's a bar going down from the head of the animal down to the ground, along the back of the animal, that would be the vertical bar. So the motos, if I'm not mistaken, are two horizontal bars. One is underneath the neck, and one is on top of the neck. And they are somehow connected and tied together. And that is connected to another bar which goes down the length of the animal and is hitched to the plow. Okay, whatever it is, but the point over here is you have an animal and the animal is in some type of mechanism called a yoke. And this yoke has multiple Porsche parts, and one of the parts is called the motos, the poles. And over here Hashem is saying, when a Jew is in Golos, it's a metaphor for an animal being harnessed with this yoke. And Hashem says, I'm going to break these bars and release the animal from its yoke. Kimin yosed, there is a peg, b'shnei rosheho, all the two ends of the yoke, ha'ma'achvim ha'mosera, preventing the mosera. I think that there's some rope, I don't know what this is. Shelo seitze mirosh ha'shav yad, from the head of the ox. V'yater ha'kesher, and mirosh ha'shav yater ha'kesher. We just removed the picture. I need to get the picture. I don't have it here. Where do I have the picture? Let me think where I have it. It must be at home. I don't think I must be have it at home. I used to have it here in this shul. Because I once upon a time used to learn Masech de Kalim, was a long time ago. And it's not here now, so I can't make the picture. Okay. So this concludes this pasuk. I am worthy, have faith in you, because I can do a few miracles, and I took you out of Egypt, and I broke Eshbar Moto Sulchem. I broke the bars of your yoke, the Ulchem Elosh of oil. Oil Malchus Shamayim, and Valecheskem Komimius, and I, after breaking the bar, I allowed you to walk Bekoima Zakufa, straight up, with your nose up in the air, proud and strong. Now let's see what it says over in the Targum. Targum says, "Ano Hashem elokachoyim di apekis yoschem ne'ardim." It's traveled to get out of Egypt, melehemei lohoyim avdin, from being slaves. This saboris I broke near Amaraya. Okay, so here we have over here something very interesting. Minachoyim v'daboris yoschem lecheirusa. So here the Targum is coming to disagree with Rashi, and then what we are saying is, I broke the near of the Amaraya of the nations. I broke the motos, the bars ulchem. Rashi didn't tell us any metaphors. Ordinarily, it's the other way around. Ordinarily, it's Rashi that whacks midrashic. Rashi is normally the one that goes and quotes midrashim to fit into the words of the pasuk. And Unkelus gives you a raw translation. Here, it is Rashi that's giving us a very raw translation, and it is Unkelus that is giving us the more homiletic, or the more midrashic. And he said, I broke the near of the nations. Now, I'm assuming the word near means the yoke of the nations. And I did for you, and I guided you, Yoschein L'cheirusa, to freedom. Not like Rashi, who said, I allowed you to walk B'koima Zekufa. Koyma Zakufa is not the same thing as freedom. It's a different concept. So let me see what it says over here. In the Ma'at Sari, on this pasuk says, Motos Ulchem, Va'olacheskem Kamiyus, this is pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, in pasuk Yud Gimel, I'm reading this here. Let's see, near. Hamila mota targum yoinasan nira. It means a rod. The mila ul tirgim ungulus near. Oh, so it means the same thing. It means the yoke. All right. Vimkain the mila near tirgim motus ulchem. Ke echot. Avalokain derech yoinasan. Okay, so he's translating it. Again, this is another principle. The motos ulchem. Okay, this is another example of targum. Another example of what targum does. The Targum, he comes to make the vocabulary, we always mention this idea, to limit the vocabulary. Even though in the Torah, Lashon HaKodesh has a limited number of words, it's from the smallest languages of the ancient world. The number of words in the language, Lashon HaKodesh, is not that many, relatively speaking to other languages. And yet, what does Targum do? Targum's style is always to take multiple words in the Torah and to translate them the same, with the same Aramaic word, to simplify, to reduce the vocabulary of the Torah into a smaller vocabulary. And here is a great example. Because here we have two words. We have the word motos and the word ulechem. What is the moto? What is the mot? Mot is a rod, a bar, and ulchem is a yoke. Now these, if we had the picture, which I don't have, I said before, and we would study the picture, we would see that there's a part of the yoke that goes around the neck of the animal. There are bars, horizontal bars, vertical bars, there are pegs, there are ropes, there are all different types of things that come together in this contraption to keep the animal harnessed and follow orders and pull the plow. Many different parts. And of those parts is a part called the moat, and there's a part called the oil. And they're two completely separate components of this mechanism. Along comes the Targum. The Targum says the word moat and the word oil is the same thing. And therefore, I'm going to translate it with one word. I'm going to simplify these two words. I'm going to translate both of these words with one word, near. Because elsewhere, when you have the word moat by itself, it's translated as near. And when you have the word oil by itself, it's also translated as near. So here in this pasuk, when the two words appear together, we're just going to translate it as near. Another classic approach of Targum is to simplify the Hebrew language by taking multiple words which are similar and making believe it's just poetic repetition and it's all the same, and we simplify the language by translating multiple words as one word. So that's why he says over here in this passage, I took you out, v'sabodis, I broke the near. The near is the motos ulchem. One word for two words in the Torah. And then Unkelis does something that's uncharacteristic of him, to add a word into the pasuk that it does not say. The yoke of the nations, the amamin of the nations, minichoin from upon you. And then he says, the word minichoin also doesn't say in the pasuk. And then it says, v'oilech eschem koi mimiyus, v'daboris means to guide, yoschon yu l'cheru. So where did that come from? Koi mimiyus means, I don't even know what it means. What does the word koi mean? It means kum, means to stand up. Kum, to arise. And here he translates it, freedom. Since when does freedom mean arise? Okay, that's a drush, that's not a little pshat. Next pasuk. Now we begin the Teichacha. If you're not going to listen, Rashi, so now we're going back to the beginning of the parasha. In the beginning of the parasha, when it says, Rashi there said, if you will be amelim b'Torah, you will toil in the study of Torah. Now it says, if you're not going to listen, you're not going to be amelim b'Torah. Ladas, to know medrash chachamim, to know the drashos of the chachamim. Okay, yochel, I would think l'kima mitzvos. Maybe when it says over here, this word kukosai to masu means it means not the study of Torah. Maybe it means the observance of the mitzvos. Can be. Kishu oimer. It says further, v'loy sasu eis kol hamitzvos o'ela. So it says later in the pasuk, if you're not going to observe the mitzvos. Therefore, by process of elimination, when the pasuk here says kukosai to masu, must refer to, you're not going to want to learn Torah. What does the pasuk say? Li, if lo yishmu li to me, ain li ella zehamakiras riboyno umechavin limrid boy. It says over here, li, I only know, ain li ella. The word li is a person that knows Hashem and has intent to rebel against Him. Ain li, the word li in this pasuk means ella zehamakir es riboyno. He acknowledges Hashem's existence, so v'chaven, he has intent, lim roid boy, v'chein benim roid, gibor tzai lefnei Hashem. What is it lefnei Hashem? Shema kiroi, u'mischaven, lim roid boy, v'chein ba'anshei sudan, ro'im v'chatem l'Hashem oid, those extra words, Hashem oid, makinim es riboynam, u'mischavenim, lim roid boy. So Rashi is giving you three examples: Nimrod, Sodom, and the pasuk over here of Rimlos Tishmu Li. The extra word Li is coming to connote that the person knows very well Hashem and he has kavod to rebel. Okay, so Rashi over here in the second pasuk is making the drasha, the juxtaposition. What's the juxtaposition of Rimlos Tishmu Li Veloy Sasu? If you don't learn, you're not going to do. Godol limud shalimud mevi lidei mais. Targum. What does the Targum in this say? If you're not going to accept my words, you're not going to do my mitzvahs. So notice we have a machlekes Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi says, v'im b'chukosai t'masu. Rashi spends a lot of time proving that the word chukosai t'masu means the study of Torah. If you're going to detest being a melim b'Torah, that's not what Unkelus says. Unkelus does not mention anything about the